This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2074. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded February 18th, Australia, Austria, Brazil, Canada, China, Cuba, Egypt, India, Japan, Korea, North and South, Malawi, Myanmar, New Zealand, Peru, Russia, Tajikistan, Tibet, UK, USA, Uzbekistan, Vanuatu, Venezuela, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Mike Cooper forwards a story from The Guardian, February 5th, by Amanda Mead, titled Death by a Thousand Million Cuts. It's about the ABC in Australia. By 2023 and 24, the ABC will have lost over one gigadollar in funding since the coalition came to power in 2014, unless funding is restored in upcoming budgets. The bleak assessment by former ABC senior bureaucrat and PhD candidate Michael Ward. Calculations he based on the forward estimates in the October budget. The accompanying list of casualties at the ABC as a result of the budget shortfall include the closure or downsizing of ABC bureaus in Tokyo, Bangkok, New Delhi, Africa, and New Zealand, the loss of 200 jobs in 2020 alone, and the termination of ABC shortwave services. We might ask, what shortwave services? Certainly not from Australia itself. Maybe they're referring to some limited relays via New Zealand or Vanuatu or Pacific Islands. All of this despite Tony Abbott's promise on the eve of the 2014 election that there would be no cuts to public broadcasting under a coalition government. In case you're wondering about QSL in Austria, Radio Österreich International, here's a letter from the station received by Alexander Jurin, St. Petersburg, in Rusty X. It's from Agnes Kraft. We appreciate your interest in listening to our programs via shortwave. Our techs will be pleased about your detailed report. Unfortunately, due to cutbacks, the Austrian Broadcasting Company, ORF, decided to discontinue sending of QSL cards. We ask for your understanding. About that low-power Brazilian on 5899.1 we mentioned last week, Radio Casa, more about that in the British TX Club via Alan Pennington. Alex Costa in Brazil reported to a Facebook group he received an EQSL for Radio Casa, received on its other frequency 7455, January 13th. We have no profit purpose in transmitting on shortwave, only the pleasure and joy of being able to keep live transmissions on shortwave in Brazil. We're also operating on 5900. The transmission on 5910 was testing our new transmitter. It will be easier to tune in our station at certain times. The two frequencies, 7455 and 5900, transmit every day from 10 to 02 UT. A strong hug from our entire team, says Alessandro Ramos, director of Radio Casa. The RCI Action Committee has succeeded in getting some publicity in Canada for its mission. Latest news from its head, Wojtek Gwiazda, February 15th. The latest is we spearheaded an open letter to Prime Minister Trudeau, the Deputy Prime Minister, the Minister of External Affairs, and Minister of Canadian Heritage, signed by a former Prime Minister, a former Canadian Ambassador to the UN, Naomi Klein, actor Donald Sutherland, and 28 others, many former diplomats and foreign affairs specialists. You can read it at rciaction.org. It's titled Open Letter to PM Ministers, Calls for International Service to be Strengthened, Not Cut. The letter asks that the December 3rd policy be blocked and any changes to RCI be frozen until RCI staff, along with a group of qualified people outside CBC or Radio-Canada, can propose a plan to rebuild the international service and give it a form of financial and editorial autonomy. Basically, we're saying, just let us do our job and free us to do it better. This initiative has been picked up by Canadian press and published in a story in the Globe and Mail on February 18th, sent to us by Mike Cooper. In the British TX Club, Tony Rogers, using the online receivers in China and Taiwan, reports hearing on February 15th. Not sure how long this has been the case, but both 1098 and 1557 kHz have Firedrake music jamming, presumably to block Radio Free Asia in Chinese. It's believed that RFA moved its Taiwan relay from 1098 to 1557 kHz, but they may be covering both bases. A major media story this past week appeared in the Washington Post, February 12th, by Adam Taylor, sent on to us by Mike Cooper, headlined, "China to pull BBC News off the air, says the state broadcast regulator." According to Xinhua, the China's National Radio and TV Administration said the BBC, partly funded by the British state but editorially independent, had, quote, undermined China's national interests and ethnic solidarity. Also, Hong Kong's public broadcaster, RTHK, said it would drop BBC news broadcasts, ending the practice of airing the world service from 11 p.m. until 7 a.m. the next day. Chinese state media greeted the news with a sense of triumph, while U.S. and British officials criticized the decision. British Foreign Minister Dominic Raab called the move an unacceptable curtailing of media freedom. BBC is disappointed that Chinese authorities have decided to take this course of action, said a spokesman for the broadcaster. The BBC is the world's most trusted international news broadcaster and reports on stories from around the world fairly, impartially, and without fear or favor. John Filiozzi in New York replies, "Shortwave would seem to be the only means remaining which BBC could get its content into China, but the World Service, according to the World Radio TV Handbook, no longer has any such broadcasts in Mandarin Chinese targeting that region of the world." And Stephen Luce in Houston says, "Any additional BBC shortwave to China would be met with more jamming. China has plenty of transmitters to accomplish this. It is a cost-benefit issue." And Yogi Miao comments, "Since late 2020, even the BBC's DRM service to South Asia on 15620 at 08-09 UT has white motor noise jamming. Only a handful of people were listening to that to begin with, and with the presence of that noise, no one could hear 1 second of that DRM service." And there's been much more discussion and press about this, some of it via BBC monitoring, in the World of Radio IO group. Radio Havana, Cuba is still doing a DX program in Spanish on Sundays into UT Mondays called En Contacto, but no longer any participation at all by Arne Coro. I heard it February 15th at 0240 to 0255 on 9535, among many other frequencies. Now other people are writing it and voicing the program. Meanwhile, the English DX program, DX was Unlimited, vanished from the air sometime in January, I think. But now I've heard directly from another Cuban ham that arrangements are underway for a replacement program. He thinks that Arne Coro is suffering from Parkinson's disease. More reports of the mystery Egyptian music station from Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria, believed to originally have been a number station. On February 16th, he heard it at 0815 to 0820 on 9550, preceded by 10 minutes of a 1 kHz tone, and then on 9400, the same setup at 0930 to 0940. And on February 18th, at 0905, they were on 9600, and at 1025 on 9400. In the Michigan ARA tip sheet, Sparky Blue Fox says he's figured out what DRM means, don't receive much. Last week, Alan Rowe reported hearing a bit of English from All India Radio, imagine that, on 9620, before the French broadcast starts at 1930. And it was in AM rather than DRM, as originally scheduled. However, Joe's Jacob of DX India replies, they were just warming up the transmitter with the domestic service audio, so don't depend on it. Although Christoph Ratzer in Austria reports to DX India, he also heard a bit of English before 1930. Destination India was the program. On February 15th, Saharis Liangas in Greece says the French hour at 1930, still in AM, had frequent interruptions, but it was okay the next day. Here's another bit of inadvertent English not to be relied upon, caught by Ivo Ivanov on 17830. The Pashto broadcast starts at 0845, but was on the air 3 minutes earlier with news in English. Mike Terry forwards a story from something called Ultra.News, headlined, "After DRM Fiasco, Government Rethinks Radio Digitization Strategy." Dated February 12th, it's by Sri Jirai Jeluvangal, and it is about India. The government seems to have had a change of heart. The first phase of radio digitization, the potential to deliver CD-quality sound on radio receivers, started around 11 years ago. Prasar Bharati has finished putting up 38 digital radio towers across the country, which cover a large chunk. Three out of the 38 are using shortwave, the other 35 on medium wave. However, despite having one of the most advanced digital radio networks in the world, practically no one in India listens to over-the-air digital radio services, calling into question the extensive investment that has been made in this sector. Primary reason for the blunder has been that India chose the wrong platform, Digital Radio Mondial, a technology that is particularly suited as a stand-in replacement for analog medium wave and shortwave transmissions. India paid the price of being an early adopter. Most other countries went with other technologies, Europeans with DAB, while the U.S. saw a proliferation of proprietary technologies. I interject, well, not really, it's so-called HD radio. This continues, there are practically no DRM radio sets that cost less than 3 kilorupees in the market. The failure of the digital radio project seems to have prompted the central government to have a rethink on its strategy. INB Minister Prakash Javdekar says the government is still evaluating the best technology to adopt for future projects. Ken Zicke in Michigan comments, DRM is a really poor choice to broadcast on shortwave, and doubly poor when there is intentional jamming. Anything less than nearly perfect reception will lead to zero decode. How is this good? In non-ideal but not intentionally jammed conditions, there is an option in standard DRM to drop the content to 16 QAM and use mode C or even D to make reception a bit more robust. But the pros, who always know better, right, claim and proudly announce that mode A, 64 QAM, is so much better. So, no decode at all is better than a noisy but listenable signal? It is almost as if the people pushing these systems have not actually listened to shortwave. And in the medium wave circle, while some and even BC remarks, oops, seriously, the DRM folks have repeatedly placed roadblocks in the way of advancement of the platform. I've watched the whole fiasco since the beginning. There was a time when many stations were on board, but since then they've dropped by the wayside one after another. It was always, just wait, a breakthrough is just around the corner. Well, over 20 years later, we still wait. Following the big earthquake in Japan, February 13th, Walt Samaniv also remarks, "At 1540, I tune in via my remote masset receivers, all in English, on the NHK2 network, that is, medium wave, with emergency transmissions. They stayed on the air well past normal sign-off with language lessons. Reporting no nuclear power station leaks, tens of thousands of people without power. They were reporting city by city. It was fascinating. I suppose frequencies like 774. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, 2074. A non-commercial service, along with our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week to Joe Caberlin, Port Colborne, Ontario, who sent some spare U.S. dollars to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702, USA. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. As of Monday, February 15th, Ron Howard in California reports on the clandestines from South to North Korea. Yet again, another week with no change in the multiple frequencies of VOP. However, VOH, Echo of Hope, changed all their frequencies, checked at 1015 UT, 3990, 4885, 6000 interferent, 6250, 6355, and 9100. As for the third station, Voice of Freedom, on 6045 at 1020, he says certainly no one from this station is actually checking what is being heard on air. Most of the time, now their former 5920 is completely clear, whereas 6045 always has super jamming from North Korea, killing any chance for any decent Voice of Freedom reception. Ivo Ivanov reports on the related stations Nippon no Kaze, which is in Korean, and Furusato no Kaze in Japanese, which are now broadcast via Tashkent, Uzbekistan, but he says, with bad audio and even without a carrier, as monitored February 15th. Each has 3 half-hour broadcasts, Nippon no Kaze at 13, 15, and 15:30, Furusato no Kaze at 13:30, 14:30, and 1600. Now, before 15 UT, they're all on 5895, and after 15, they switch to 5945. We have a new correspondent in Botswana, Peter Wilson, who monitors medium wave, and he says, I just noticed that Malawi has reactivated 594 kilohertz since at least the 2nd of February. That's listed in the handbook as inactive with 30 kilowatts, and there are only 5 other medium waves in Malawi, all only 10 kilowatts. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard monitors Myanmar radio on 5985, evidently more or less back to normal now, as of February 17th, starting at 1523 with Buddhist chanting and singing, 1530 to 1559, their segment in English, somewhat readable, including theme music frequencies, news, information from the State Administrative Council, police report about protesters arrested, and so forth. Weather news at 1540, an inspirational song. 1545, movie soundtracks. 1557, still relaying VOA special English about words and their stories, and blocked at 1559 by China. Radio New Zealand Pacific has resumed using 9700, but at different hours than before, as monitored February 13th by Ivo Ivanov, using a West Coast North America remote. 9700 replaces 11725 at 0959 until 1258 in English. However, there is a different beam or antenna on Saturdays and Sundays. It's more favorable for us on weekends than it is on weekdays toward the north-northwest. We've been wondering if Radio Chasqui in Peru is still active on 5980. We try to hear it even via remotes around 23 UT, but there's nothing. And if it is on the air after 2350, the frequency is blocked by Iran, if not Cuban jamming. But it has been heard in the morning in nearby Chile by Claudio Galas, February 16th, at 1142 to 1220, with biblical programming in Spanish, and songs in Quechua, heard from 1150 until 1200. After that, seemingly programming in Quechua. 1206, some more music and announcements. Via David Cole, a Washington Post editorial of February 13th. Putin's latest aggression could silence U.S. media operations in Russia. The U.S. Agency for Global Media faces a grave threat from a source other than Trump, the Russian regime of Vladimir Putin. Perhaps calculating the turmoil in the agency made it vulnerable, Putin has targeted RFERL news operations in Russia and the TV outlet Current Time, joint operation with VOA. Russian regulators have assessed the U.S. media heavy and mounting fines and are threatening criminal prosecutions of their personnel because of their failure to comply with onerous new requirements for labeling their journalism as the product of foreign agents. Putin's clear intent is to force the shutdown of U.S. media operations in Russia. That would deal a crippling blow to what remains of independent journalism in the country at a critical moment. The Biden administration has pledged to push back against Putin's aggressions, unlike the curiously passive Trump. In this case, one option would be to threaten reciprocal closure of Russian government broadcasters in the U.S., such as Sputnik and RT. At least the State Department should pursue sanctions under the Magnitsky Act against Russian officials involved in the campaign against U.S. media. Ivo Ivanov reports that Voice of Tibet transmitted via Tajikistan between 13 and 14 UT has been on some very odd frequencies as of February 15th monitoring. Of course, they're never ending in 0 or 5, but now they're split between kilohertz. At various times during that hour, they're from as low as 9864.8 to other frequencies, always ending in 0.8 up to 9899.8. and that's the only frequency being heard at a time. Ron Hart has been comparing the English broadcast of the Chakam-controlled Holy Tibet, Zhejiang PBS, with other sources about the same matters. On February 13th, 6200 at 16 UT, there was a report about China helping Nepal get the COVID-19 vaccine and about China-Nepal relations. However, checking other online news sources, a rather different slant to the sanitized Holy Tibet version, it said that Beijing had been putting pressure on Nepal to accept its COVID vaccine without its efficiency and efficacy being established. The Aclara Listen Sprechen, a story from NPR by David Folkenflik, February 11th. Trump officials cited security to kill visas for VOA staffers, but emails say otherwise. It's the sad story of journalist Nabila Ganinda, who worked for VOA's Indonesian service for 2 years before the Trump administration rejected her visa extension. She's now back in Indonesia, awaiting a green light from the U.S. AGM. As her initial 2 years came to an end last fall, her editors sought to have her work visa extended, a capable multimedia producer. Instead, she was caught up in the ideological riptide that defined Trump's administration and tore apart both VOA and U.S. AGM. In rejecting her visa extension, forcing her to leave the U.S., the agency's most senior officials relied on reasoning that fit neatly with Trump's America First rhetoric, even though that made no sense for an international broadcaster. For the 7 months that PAC ran U.S. AGM, no such visas or extensions were granted. The move sent dozens of full-time VOA contractors scrambling to figure out where else they could live and work during a pandemic. Former VOA director Amanda Bennett calls PAC's policy stupid and short-sighted. To be credible, VOA's foreign language services need journalists conversant in current political and social trends in distant countries, as well as present-day vernacular. Former VOA audience researcher Kim Elliott writes a monthly international broadcasting column for the NASWA Journal, dealing now mainly with the U.S. AGM and VOA situation, including the appearance by former Secretary of State Pompeo at the VOA auditorium giving a speech, after which a journalist working for VOA shouted questions at him without permission and was subsequently disciplined. Dan Robinson, also ex-VOA, takes the other side, explaining how she broke the ground rules. No one was allowed to do that. Mike Cooper replies, this was no different from the shouting of questions to past presidents and the current president at virtually every one of their appearances. In the North American Shortwave Association, Rich DeAngelo writes, rest in peace, Bob Brown. I learned from Chris Field that Bob Brown, KW3F, passed away after a lengthy battle with leukemia. He had fought it for longer than his prognosis. Complications finally got him on February 11th. Best known as part of the Gang of Three in the Winter SWL Festival, he made other significant contributions to the SWL hobby. He created and was net control behind the old Anarch SWL net, operating on 7240 every Sunday morning. Bob became the club's executive director, leading to many improvements in how the monthly journal was put together. Perhaps one of the best examples of Bob's spontaneity was the Year of the Belly Dancer at the Winter SWL Festival Saturday Evening Banquet. We were only in single digits for the number of events back then. About a dozen of us visited a local Moroccan restaurant on Thursday evening. The restaurant featured a belly dancer who Bob instantly corralled into working our banquet at the festival 2 nights later. Bob Brown would have been 70 years old in May. The number one transmitter of WWCR was off the air for a couple of days, February 13th to 15th, first noted as on their website by John Jurasek. They were awaiting a replacement part. When I heard it back on the air, February 15th, it was still squealing, as it had been before on all three frequencies, 15825, 6115, or 3215. How can anyone stand to listen to it that way? That obviously was not the problem they were fixing. For at least an hour or two, the morning of February 17th, WTWW activated its number 3 transmitter on 15810, which is usually vacant. I was hearing it from 1544 until past 1700. Apparently, because of some problem with 5085. It was really hard to hear with poor reception. And 5085 as well as 5830 have been staying on the air all day at times, such as February 18th, as noted by Ivo Ivanov past sunrise. WNJC 1360, Washington Township, New Jersey, is still going strong with weekly DX tests. Chief Engineer Duke Hammond is posting regular updates on his special Facebook group for this, which is named WNJC 1360 DX. These have been running for many hours, like 11 or so, all night on UT Sundays. 1360 WNJC. As for 1560 WFME New York City, they were going off the air February 12th, we thought, last week, but they actually stayed on a few days longer until February 15th at 1615 UT, says Stan Horzipa in Connecticut, IRCA. And engineer Tom Ray posted a YouTube video of him pulling the big switch, or really pushing the small button, putting an end to WFME. Since then, those in the northeast quadrant at least have been enjoying lots of DX on 1560. There are many small stations, such as WKDO, 1 kilowatt daytimer in Liberty, Kentucky, but which Artie Bigley in Columbus, Ohio tells me has really been running all night. Its moniker is The Buck. A.D. Durden in Albany, Georgia has been hearing a station on 1420 in the evenings called La Caliente, but no such slogan is listed for American or Mexican or any Latin American stations we know of. But I was able to research it and find out that it's a new slogan for KBHS in Hot Springs, Arkansas, where, of course, it's Caliente. Its former slogan was La Zeta, as in Z. It's supposedly running only 87 watts at night, but it does have a 5-kilowatt transmitter available in the daytime. Ron Howard in California reports the second harmonic of Radio Vanuatu, 7890, Sunday, February 14th, from 0711 until 0805, the best reception ever he's heard on that frequency with religious songs. And at 727, a PSA about national disaster management preparing for cyclones. Fairly understandable, with many words in English. The fundamental 3945 and 11835 were also heard, but not nearly as well. The next night, February 15th, he was hearing fundamental 3945 from 1046 until off at 1104:30, with Christian songs, many in English. ID and national anthem. It cut off just at the end of the anthem, so no longer with many minutes of dead air afterwards. February 17th at 01 UT, a routine check via the Bonaire remote found no signal from ROCV Venezuela on 6200. 5 hours later, Manuel Mendez in Spain reported that 50-watt transmitter in El Tigre is off the air, according to the WhatsApp group Banda Corta Venezuela. The technical engineer of the station, Gregorio Quina, says it's a transmitter fault, which he hoped to repair in the next week. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder. Geomagnetic field likely to reach G1, minor storm conditions, or active, the following ANKNSC's peaks. 12 and 4 on February 21st and 22nd, 10 and 3 on February 23rd and March 13th, the highest 18 and 5 on March 1st, 15 and 4 on March 2nd and 6th, and 18 and 4 on March 12th. Solar flux peaking at 76 February 24th and 25th, down to 70 by March 8th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2074 with a standard disclaimer.